Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about Philbrook Museum's latest exhibit, which opened at the beginning of the month. Remainders features recent work by seven up-and-coming female sculptors who work in a variety of non-traditional sculptural forms, from building materials to working tools and apparel to video, to create work that is abstract and sometimes conceptual as well. The seven artists, Diana Al-Hadid, Rachel Beach, Rachel Fulon, Kate Gilmore, Heather Rowe, Aaron Sharef, and Allison Vieira, each have a distinctive look to their approach to art, with each drawing on different inspirations for their sculpture, from ancient tenets of architecture to feminism, contemporary, and folk art. My guest today is the curator for Remainders and the Meinig curator of modern and contemporary art at Philbrook, Lauren Ross. Ross joins us to talk about Remainders, which continues on display in the Helmert Gallery at the Villa Philbrook through September 29th. Lauren Ross, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Remainder has been on display this summer. We haven't really seen a group show like this. This is almost like a group gallery show. I mean, it's like you would go to a commercial gallery and see something. This is brand new work for the most part within the last 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely.
Very fresh. And it's a group show. And Philbrook usually doesn't do that. Usually it's about a particular artist or a particular period, and there's, you know, the art history angle. This is just, hey, here's what's happening today.
It's true. I think it's been a few years since Philbrook has presented a contemporary exhibition that was a group show with really recent, fresh work, as you're saying. And, you know, as an encyclopedic museum, we try to really mix things up so that our visitors have different experiences when they come back. And so, you know, we try to present a broad range of work.
Is that going to be a trend for every few years? We might have a group show or maybe a show of brand new work?
I hope so. I mean, you know, contemporary art is my area, and of course I'm very enthusiastic about it. And doing this exhibition was such a pleasure, and I hope it becomes a regular thing.
What attracted you to these seven artists that you picked for the show?
Well, I think they're making such compelling work, and I knew I had this sort of slot in the exhibition schedule, and I started thinking about, okay, you know, who are the artists who are doing the most interesting things? And I started making this list, and it sort of became apparent quickly that most of these artists who were on my list were working with sculpture, and the majority of them were women. And I thought, all right, well, there's two sort of organizing principles right there. These are all artists who I think actually, although there are similarities between them, I think each artist has a very unique approach. But among the things they have in common is that they're all working with abstract, fractured forms, sort of, you know, taking materials apart. And they all have interesting relationships to history. I think they're looking at different periods in history, in some cases ancient history, in other cases much more recent, and responding to that, you know, to, you know, everything from ancient archaeological monuments to modern sculpture.
Well, and you mentioned sculpture, and people, when they hear sculpture, they think bronze.
Right.
Not a single bronze in the show.
No. I think it's there's actually a very interesting take on materials in this show.
Yes, everything from found materials to construction materials. I found that was a sort of an interesting that was more interesting to me is the fact that they're using construction materials as a sculptural form.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there's one of the sort of sub-themes of the show is that it is very architectural, and more than one artist in the show is working with building materials. I was sort of joking with one of the artists that she said, you know, her art supply store is like Home Depot or Lowe's, you know, because she's working with things like drywall and aluminum studs and building materials.
Well, let's talk a little about some of the artists. The first artist when you walk in the gallery is the work of Diana Al-Hadid, who
That's
is
right.
Syrian.
Mm-hmm.
And the big piece of hers looks like a piece of drywall.
That's right.
It is drywall.
And actually, those are two pieces that are installed side by side. But that's a recent direction in her work. She does make, you know, three-dimensional freestanding sculpture that would sit in the middle of the room that you would walk around. And she also makes drawings. And there is one drawing by her in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And these new wall panel sculptures are kind of a cross between the two. They're almost a hybrid of sculpture and drawing. So they are essentially flat, and they slot into the wall and then really become one with the wall. I mean, it's meant to sort of give an illusion as if it's part of the wall itself.
And actually the drywall, maybe there is a design to it, but it is actually punch through.
Right.
And so you can be on the other side and see through it. But it's obviously meant to be seen from one side, I think.
Well, there is a front and back. So if you go around to the other side of the wall, you do see it punches all the way through. So you can see clear through the wall.
What struck me about this was it kind of reminds me of some of the architectural lace work you'll see on like some of the Moorish mosques.
Yes.
You know, where it's very intricate, but there will be these little holes of light for light to go through.
Absolutely.
And it kind of reminded me of that. Was that an inspiration?
She draws on a wide variety of sources that are really fascinating. She does look a lot at what I like to call sacred architecture, which means everything from cathedrals to mosques. And yes, I agree. It's got a very, very lacy quality that is reminiscent of certain types of Islamic architecture, where there were a lot of screens or lattice work where you can see through it. But then it's interesting because another source for her is Renaissance and Baroque painting. And so both of those pieces are very, very loosely based on Renaissance paintings. Well, in one case, a drawing, and in one case, a wall mural. But she's sort of taking them so far away from their original source that you wouldn't necessarily recognize it.
And the drawing that you mentioned, it's really interesting because there looks like there is an image at the base.
That's right.
And then it's just covered with this sort of cascading sense of pastel. So it's almost like a rainfall, but it's not really rainfall. A waterfall, maybe not, but not really.
Exactly.
It's just sort of this cascade of color.
Exactly. She starts with an image as her original source, but it, you know, in the cases with the wall pieces, both of those Renaissance images are figures gathered within architectural niches. And you know, I think if you look at it a long time, you can get a sense of figures in an architectural space, but it's highly stylized. It's highly abstracted.
Tell us a little bit about her. Is she Syrian? Is she born in Syria, but she's an American artist, really.
Exactly. She was born in Syria, but raised in Wisconsin, actually, mm-hmm. I believe.
And the next artist is Rachel Foulon, mm-hmm. who, when you see this, it's very different looking. It's using workman materials, workman clothes, everything from
aprons and bibs. And, right.
Yeah, exactly. And just hung up on pegs.
Right.
What is the inspiration for this?
Rachel is really fascinated with sort of the history of pioneering farmsteaders in this country, you know, people who sort of first settled the land. And her sort of architectural fascination are these early Dutch barns that were, I mean, very few of them are still standing today, but you know, really, really early agrarian architecture when people and animals often lived under the same roof. And there's something kind of utopian about it, about her take on it. But she's just really interested in these sort of functional workspaces, barns, tack rooms, you know, even slaughterhouses, mm-hmm. places like that.
Tack rooms would probably be the best description. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a series of tacks and there'll be some clothing, maybe a tarp or a piece of fabric.
That's right.
A rope, you know, of some sort of implement that are hung on these pegs.
Right. And the long wall is from a series of sculptures that she calls clusters. And she's developed this system, which is really a pagan rail system, where there are the wooden railings made out of cedar, and then there are sliding pegs on them, and she hangs each individual sculpture from these pegs. And so it very much has the feel of a tack room. And you're right, each sculpture is a cluster, a combination of hard and soft material. So there's always a fabric element, which often is based on clothing that we were talking about, coveralls or aprons or bibs, things like that. And then combined with functional materials, everything from electrical cords to rope to
Netting,
exactly. In some cases, even little remnants of farm tools that she's taken apart.
Yeah. And there's another piece that's in there that has the most unusual title in the whole show.
Yes.
Facade, the evil character of the farm would isolate and happiness and prosperity would bring. That's sick.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she has very unusual titles. So that title is a poor translation of an old Dutch text.
Oh, right.
It was translated
probably Google or something.
Exactly. It was translated using some kind of online software. So it's a bad translation, but she decided to use that as the title.
And it kind of has a circular form with a netting and then equipment hung up in it. And it's got mm-hmm. a different support system to keep hang it up there.
It does. It's also sort of based on that system of molding. But mm-hmm. yeah, that piece is, she actually handmade that net. And the netting holds fabric, which has a sort of blue color to it. And she wasn't necessarily thinking about this ahead of time, but after she stuffed that blue fabric into the netting, she sort of stepped back and looked at it and said, oh, it looks like water. And of course, you know, a net can't hold water. And she started thinking about the Dust Bowl and about, you know, that period in history and the attempts to get the dried earth to hold water, and it wouldn't. And so she was actually very excited about showing that piece in Oklahoma because of that connection to the Dust Bowl.
Now, did any of the artists create work for the show?
Yes. There is one piece in the show that's brand new that was created for the show. It's one of the works by Heather Rowe. So she has two sculptures in the show. One is a larger freestanding floor piece called All Day Light.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, a lot of these works are very conceptual to me.
Yes.
They seem very, very conceptual. And certainly the screen that you're talking about has a bit of conception to it, but I could also right. actually see that having a functional use in a home.
Right, right. Yeah, so she's another artist who works with building materials. And
yes.
It's interesting because that piece, All Day Light, was actually made by her in Marfa, Texas. She was invited to go there for an exhibition, I think it was about 2 years ago, and she decided to make the piece on site, and so she was limited to what she could either buy or find there. And as you may
probably.
Know, Marfa is a rather remote area.
Yes, it is. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It is actually an oasis of artistic, there are a lot of artists out there, but
that's
it's
right.
probably going to the Home Depot or Lowe's
exactly.
somewhere.
Exactly. And so all of the materials in that piece did come from a store like Home Depot or Lowe's. And so it's made of wood and building materials, but it also has these little bits of wallpaper and fabric and cut mirrored glass. It very much looks like a screen that would divide a room. It's made up of a series of frames that are held together in almost an accordion style. And the frames, I think, suggest, you know, doorways or possibly windows. Or the other suggestion in that piece really is that it looks something like a theater set or prop, and that's something that Heather is very interested in.
Yeah. The other piece, which is the one that she created for
that's
the show,
right.
is called the Somnambulist.
That's right.
And this is a series of art frames,
that's
like
right.
painting frames, that
mm-hmm.
have been cut up and basically deconstructed and created into this sort of three-dimensional wall sculpture, which involves glass and mirrors.
Exactly.
So it's kind of got this shattered glass, shattered frame sort of.
Exactly.
It's a very attractive form, I have
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, yeah. Heather is really interested in the idea of framing space, and I know that's kind of an abstract concept, but she's very interested in how her sculptures can kind of break up space and make space confusing. And, you know, particularly her use of cut mirrors is very effective in that manner. So, you know, with both of those pieces, it's really ambiguous sort of what's the inside, what's the outside. When you walk around it, your sense of space becomes disoriented.
You know, you can see the mirrors, but you can't see reflections, which I mm-hmm. found was really interesting. It's like, oh, well, there's a reflection there. But it's like when you're looking at most of the piece, you can see there's glass and mirrors, but you don't see reflections, which is sort of the usual thing you would see when you actually see a mirror. You
that's,
expect to
that's
see a
right.
reflection.
That's right. And I find with a larger piece that I, more than once, I've had the experience of looking through an area where there's no mirror, but in my mind, I'm actually reading it as a reflection. So it's uh-huh. totally disorienting.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting piece.
Yeah.
My guest today is Lauren Ross, the Minded Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Philbrook Museum. Remainders features recent work by 7 up-and-coming female sculptors, which is on display at the museum through September 29th. And we're talking about some of the work in the show. The next person you run across is Kate Gilmore, which I think when you look at the website, you see some of her work there.
Yes.
And this is kind of funny. It just strikes me as funny.
It is funny.
She's doing videos.
Mm-hmm.
She has a print, and let's see, it seems like several videos and maybe a couple of prints, maybe
yeah.
only one print, maybe.
Two prints, actually.
Two prints, yeah. Of basically her making a mess.
Right. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell,
but let's be a little... one is these series of constructions that she creates, and she's got these clay paint pots, and basically mm-hmm. she goes in the video, she's basically destroying the paint pots and creating this sort of cascade of color. And,
right.
And then the one that probably gets the most comments is the video of her in this still video camera looking down on her in this box. She's dressed like she's going to a party with high heels and a short cocktail dress.
Right.
And she's just bashing out all this drywall.
Right, exactly. So that is Kate's, that is really Kate's practice, is that she builds environments herself, and then she sets some type of goal for herself. And the goals are nonsensical and they are destructive. And she sets up a video camera and she performs her task for the camera. So her works are really equal parts sculpture, performance, and video, or at least video is the way that it's delivered, because she never performs in front of a live audience. It's always for the camera. And it's always one take, no editing. So, you know, however long it takes for her to achieve her goal, that's how long it takes. And if she fails, she fails. There's no sort of post-recording editing. And yeah, they are very destructive tasks. They usually involve her, you know, breaking out of confining environment that she's built. So literally punching and kicking her way through drywall. Or recently she's been doing a lot with these clay pots that are often filled with wet paint. So, you know, she's destroying them either by, there's a piece called Buster in which she's stomping them with her bare feet.
Yeah, purple and silver paint in this thing. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's interesting, the environments always start out as being sort of drab. And then through the destructive act, color is released, usually in the form of wet paint that spills and drips. And so by the time she's done, you have this mess, but it really transforms the environment into something much more interesting.
And there has to be a feminist message as a part of it, because she's not dressed like she's going to Lowe's or Home Depot.
Exactly.
She's dressed in a cocktail dress and you know, either
she's usually in a little black dress.
Flats or heels.
Yeah, right, often heels. Sometimes she does these pieces in these sort of prim and proper outfits, which, you know, and they are funny. They're intentionally funny. There's a very deliberate disconnect between her appearance and, you know, and she's always sort of poker-faced. I mean, she doesn't show emotion when she's performing. There's always a disconnect between that control and, you know, these crazy destructive acts. And it is an exhibition of all female artists, but Kate, I would say more than any other artist in the show, yes, her work has a deliberate feminist edge to it.
Yeah, and I would think the kids love that video of the paint.
Yeah, I think actually almost everyone I've seen in the gallery enjoys watching those videos. And for her, the humor is absolutely deliberate. She wants people, and some people actually are very uncomfortable by them.
I would think.
Right, because the tasks she sets for herself are physically challenging, and in some cases even potentially dangerous.
Well, with the video of her in that confined space, there's that sort of undercurrent of it's kind of creepy.
Right. And what she's doing is
very
physical.
Fear.
I mean, putting your fist through drywall is, you know, it's potentially dangerous.
And actually the print that's in there between a hard place is actually a quite nice print.
Right. So both of the prints are kind of the aftermath. You know, they're stills of the aftermath.
And in this case, you're seeing these holes and these drywalls and the sort of the outer paper of it sort of peeling away. And it's kind of a cool looking piece, I think.
Right.
Well, that's Kate Gilmore's work. The next piece, this is probably the most... Oh, go ahead.
And actually, I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that Kate Gilmore is coming to Philbrook in August. She'll be giving a talk on her work the evening of August 15th. And so I really encourage people to come and hear her speak about her work.
That'll be the third Thursday of that month, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. My guest today, Lauren Ross, as we talk about Remainders, the most recent exhibit by Philbrook, which features recent work by seven up-and-coming female sculptors. One of the other artists that you feature is probably the most traditional, I think, of all the work. It's Erin Sharaf's. And these are a series of monographs, and I'm not sure if they're photographs or art prints of these very sculptural forms. They're kind of almost like Richard Serra sculptures.
Right, exactly. They are photographs. And yes, Erin creates, or at least in that series, she was creating sculptures in her studio in order to photograph them. And so the photo is the final product, not the sculpture itself. And yes, they're very much in the spirit of mid-20th century modern sculpture. I think she was thinking a lot about artists like Tony Smith, for example, or David Smith, or Richard Serra, as you point out. And the piece is actually five photographs. The five of them comprise one piece, and it's called Monograph. Monograph is a term for a book on a single artist. And she was looking at a lot of monographs on those mid-century sculptors and thinking about how art is often experienced in reproduction rather than in person and in real life, and sort of how that changes our reception and perception of the work. And the thing about books is, you know, they're printed in signatures. If you pull out the binding and you take them apart, you'll see that double page spreads are often, they're actually printed on different signatures. So if you take apart the binding and pull the pages out, you will see two halves of disparate images that are actually printed side by side. And that was the inspiration for the work. So she took these photos of these small sculptures, cut them in half, and then sort of recombined them, you know, almost Frankenstein style, to pair unlike halves.
Well, what I liked about it was because usually when you see a photograph, it's displayed flat, and actually She's created a little box frame for them.
Yes.
And the way she displays them actually mimics the forms that she's photographing, because these are sort of these big metal, you know, they look like metal frames, you know, where the wavy frames like of mid-century art.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she displays them, there's actually, you know, you can see the crease, and it actually has a wave within it. So
it
mimics the form.
Interesting. Exactly. It sits in the frame so that it comes out either a convex or concave point. And, and of course, that mimics books if you're, you know, pulled apart, book binding. But I think you're right. It's also, it sort of makes reference to the forms. And, you know, this exhibition is an exhibition of sculpture, but, you know, I was trying to think about how artists can think sculpturally and work sculpturally even when they're not making three-dimensional objects. And so it was a deliberate choice to include video, to include photography and prints and drawings, because I think there is a way for artists to work in a very three-dimensional manner even when they're working in a 2D material.
The sixth artist is Rachel Beach, and she's doing in some senses, very traditional sculpture, using wood, a series of geometric forms. And then in other senses, a series of prints that actually she has these appendages to the frames, which reflect these geometric forms that you're seeing throughout the whole room. And it's actually set off in its own room. And I guess that's a deliberate choice, too.
Yeah. The pieces are autonomous pieces, but she, I think, you know, the approach was to create an entire room like an installation, because she's very interested in the relationships between pieces. You know, when you install many sculptures in a space, how do they physically relate to each other? What kind of, you know, conversation do they have? What kind of shapes even appear in the negative spaces in between them? And I think you're right. In a way, her work is very traditional. She's using mostly wood, which is, you know, traditional sculpting material. And she's really concerned with, you know, the sort of fundamentals like balance and form and color and shape and line. But at the same time, I think, you know, her work to me doesn't look like anyone else's that I've seen. It's a very interesting combination of raw and polished. So some of the bases for the sculptures are actually reclaimed architectural beams. She's very interested in that material because it has a built-in history. You know, as she said, there's a whole life that has happened to this material before I've even laid hands on it. But then often those very raw bases have, you know, something really, really polished and refined that she has worked extensively sitting on top of them.
Right. And it'll be a geometric form that sort of repeats itself. And it is, you mean, just has a gloss to it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
The final artist is Allison Vieira, and we're back to building materials.
Right, yes.
Big, large building materials, I should say.
Absolutely, yeah.
In fact, the thing that probably catches your eye when you first walk into the show is these big freestanding sculptures that have an actual steel I-beam on top.
That's right.
And it's sitting on basically sculptured pillars of drywall.
That's right.
And it's, you just have to see it.
Exactly. Those two pieces are called Weight Bearing. They're actually Weight Bearing 1 and 2, and there have been others in the series. And Allison is interested in some of the most elemental architectural forms, like post and lintel architecture, right? So it's the most basic architectural forms. It's two verticals holding up a horizontal, exactly. And with weight bearing, the vertical elements are stacks of drywall that she's carved into using a tool called a sawzall. And they're actually human figures. They're female figures, and they're based loosely on caryatids, which are ancient Greek architectural elements. They're literally columns, but they're female figures. Mm-hmm. And then the crossbeam on top is, as you said, it's a steel I-beam. So those pieces weigh about 800 pounds each.
Yeah.
Between the drywall and the steel, they're really they're very physical. And you know, it's interesting when in thinking about, you know, this idea of female sculptors, I was thinking about how certainly there's much more gender equality in the art world today than there has been in the past. But sculpture may be one of those areas that still tends to be somewhat male dominated because of the physicality of it. And so I really sort of love this idea that here you have, you know, a female artist who's using very macho materials to build, you know, big, bulky, incredibly heavy pieces that have a very muscular presence. However, they are based on female bodies. And in fact, the height of those pieces matches her own height. So they're loosely based on her own body.
And there's one other piece that she has. It's called Tower One, which is a set of masonry and wood walls that sort of create a tower along a wall. And then there's a big, I assume it's mylar,
that's right.
Sort of gets a reflection.
Right. So, you know, also based on post and lintel architecture, it looks like, a sort of skyscraper or building. And the elements are made of a combination of plaster and concrete that she's marbleized, you know, mixed them together to mimic the look of marble. And that, again, is a reference to classical architecture, which she's very interested in. But the tower itself is against the wall. And then, yes, there's a roll of silvered mylar on the floor that matches the height of the tower. And it looks sort of like a reflecting pool.
Yeah. Now, what's been the reaction to this show? I know the Campania show last year, you know, there were people who loved the show, and I just know from hearing the comments, what the heck is that?
Right.
I'm sure, that's part of the fun of contemporary art. I mean, there people are going to say, what the heck is that? And then people are going to say, oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction?
As far as I can tell, so far the reaction has been very positive. Yeah. I think that...
Anytime you're using non-traditional materials, I think there's always going to be that what the heck is this sort of moment from people at times.
Right. And I think, you know, to be honest, that contemporary art can be a little bit more difficult for some people to get into. I mean, as I said, we're an encyclopedic museum and we have an incredibly diverse program. And I know because I've heard that, you know, some visitors have said, well, that's, you know, it's the new stuff that's sort of tough for me. Because I think, you know, contemporary art is not rule-bound and, you know, anything goes. And yes, it can be odd to, you know, walk into a gallery and see some things that you might have sitting in your garage that have been assembled into a sculpture. But I think, you know, it's the important thing is just to come with an open mind and try to set your expectations aside and think about the choices that these artists have made and why they're doing what they're doing and how they've, you know, even if they're working with an ordinary material that you can get at the store or find on the street corner, you know, what have they done to it? How have they transformed it?
There's some really great work and there's some different works in my opinion, but it's a fun show and it's a nice show and it's a Remainders and it's currently on display at Philbrook through September 29th. Lauren, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Lauren Ross is the Meinig Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Philbrook Museum of Art. Remainder features recent work by seven up-and-coming female sculptors, which will be on display at the Villa Philbrook in the Helmert Gallery through September 29th. Information at philbrook.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.